Today's message is entitled, The Birth of Christ. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Micah 5 and 2. Now this is a season of the year when, whether people wish to or not, they are compelled to think on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people will be arguing right now that his birthday wasn't really December 25th. Does it really matter? Doesn't matter to me at all. Because you see, this season causes people to think. It brings people together. And when they open their gifts, of course, and when it's all done and all the wrappings are lying around, they find out that it's a very, very empty Christmas. And the statistics prove it out that many suicides happen during this season because there is something lacking, and that gift that you open, that worldliness, doesn't give anything. It's what comes into your heart and what you have inside, that gift, that free gift of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, that fulfills our every need in every season, no matter what the time of year or the time of day. But anyway, it gives us opportunities to witness to others. Let's look at four things today. Number one, who was it that sent Christ forth? God speaks and says, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel. Secondly, where did he come to at the time of his incarnation? Number three, what did he come for to be the ruler of Israel? Number four, had he ever come before? Had he ever come before? Yes, he had. Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Christ has made visitations before. So number one, who sent Christ? The word says, out of thee, saith Jehovah, speaking by the mouth of Micah, out of thee shall come forth unto me. And I thought as I was preparing this message, what a sweet thought, that Jesus Christ did not come forth without his Father's permission, without his Father's authority, without his Father's consent, without his Father's assistance. I don't do anything of these things myself. I do them of the Father. And so the Father was always with him, and he sent and was sent by the Father that he might be the Savior of all men. I think we must not overlook the fact, and it's so easy to happen, while there are distinctions as to the persons in the Trinity, there are no distinctions of honor. Note, did not his Father send him? And if he was made a child, did not the Holy Ghost beget him? And didn't the Father pour grace upon his lips that he might be an able minister of the new covenant? Yes. If the Father did forsake him when he drank that bitter cup of gall, did he not still love him? And did he not, by and by, after 3 days, raise him up from the dead, and at last receive him on high, lead him captive, captivity? Captivity, captive. Are you hearing this? Glory to God. So many times we get into the Jesus only. So many times we start worshiping outside of the Trinity, but all three are important. Are you hearing this? Those who know the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost never sets one before the other as far as salvation is concerned. He sees them all three at work in Bethlehem, in Gethsemane, and on Calvary. He shall come forth unto me. Oh, my people, think of that. The love of God who sent his Son on this great mercy enterprise. There had been a sad day in heaven, of course, one time way back when Satan fell and took one third of all the angels, but nothing to be compared with the great grief of the Son leaving, the Son of the Most High God leaving his Father's bosom where he had lain before all the worlds were even founded. Go, saith the Father, and the Father's blessing on thy head. And then I saw in mine own mind's eye the unrobing, And I saw the angels looking on, and I saw him laying aside his crown, and he strips his vest of glory. And the Father says, I will, and he says to his Father, I will wear a robe of clay just as other men. Then he takes off all of his jewels, and he lays aside his starry mantles and his robes of light to dress himself in the simple garments of the peasants of Galilee. And of course, then the angels, it says, attend and take him down through the streets, and they approach the door. When the angel cries, lift up your heads, ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory through. And oh, how the angels must have wept. Oh, how they must have pined. Oh, how they must have fought when they lost that great light. But they went after him nevertheless. And when his spirit entered that flesh, and he became a babe, then as they were journeying upward, hallelujah, they appeared to the shepherds and told them he was born King of the Jews. Hallelujah. Born the King of the Jews, they had the last say. He was born the King of the Jews. The Father sent him. Contemplate that subject. Let your soul grasp it. And that in every period, also grasp every period of his life, no matter how he suffered that which the Father willed him to suffer. And that every step of his life was approved by the great I Am. There's a whole lot in that, you know. Never, I'm saying, disconnect for 1 minute the Father from the Son or the Holy Ghost. And remember always that Jehovah said, he shall come forth unto me. Who sent him? The answer is, the Father sent him. Number two, where did he come to? Well, it was right there. He was born in Bethlehem. Right there. Is that picture depicts? It's right there. Are you seeing this? Because of Bethlehem's history, because of Bethlehem's name, because of Bethlehem's position, little in Judea. And so number one, it's history. Why Jerusalem? Why Bethlehem, I'm saying? Well, because Rachel died there giving birth to Benjamin. Also, if you remember, Naomi lived there. Also, Ruth lived here and gleaned from the fields of Boaz. And then married Boaz. And then Boaz became the father to Obed and the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David, of course, fought and killed the giant. And so it was much esteemed that the king should come from little Bethlehem. It was a famous place where many kings had come from. That's why. Say amen. Despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings on the north side. Despise not small beginnings in your home. Despise not small beginnings wherever that you may go, in your job. Despise them not, for out of it may come a great work, just as we see here. And so you see, it was fitting that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And also there is something in the name, that in the place, Bethlehem, Ephratah. The word Bethlehem here has a double meaning. It means the house of bread or the house of war. The house of bread or the house of war. Shouldn't Jesus be born the house of bread and the house of war? Is he not the bread of life to his people? Hey, as our father lived and our fathers lived in manna in the wilderness, so do we here live on Jesus Christ below, our bread of life. Try to go 1 week without Jesus. Try not to come to church for a couple of weeks. Try not to eat of Jesus Christ and see what happens. See how you become faint. See how the world seems to take over. See how your day starts to slip away and nothing happens. I tell you, Jesus is the bread of life. We're living in a famished world. And we can't feed upon its shadows. We need a spiritual food. We need to eat the Word of God. We need to start praising the Lord in a greater manner. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to seek what God would have us to do. We need to go out into the highways and the byways if they won't come and minister unto God's creation. Hallelujah. And we need to get serious about what God has got for us. And we need to lead others, hallelujah, in the ways of the Lord and not to take them aside and have them for our own. But glory to God. Bring them unto the Lord. Are you hearing this? But we need a spiritual food. Jesus baked in the furnace of his agonies and afflictions. Are you hearing it? We've tried Mount Sinai. Does it work? No, it's thorny and it's fruitless and it's bitter. Are you hearing this? And yet while he is food to the righteous, the house of bread, he is the house of war to the wicked. Listen what he says. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace on earth, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be them of his own household. And that is happening right now. People and families are at odds at one another. There are breakups, and all those that do not follow or have the Lord Jesus Christ, to them, he is. He has brought war to them. He has brought sword to them. Look around. Look at all the deaths that are happening. Look at all the beatings. Look at all the things. Look at all the split-ups in families. I tell you now, like never before, this world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go out there and minister his saving glory and his wonderfulness. Do you hear this message today? Oh, don't shirk from it. Don't say this is an old story. It probably is, but the Spirit of God is with it. Say amen, someone. I thought to myself, how many sing peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, and don't even know the bread of life? How many are caroling right now and don't even know Jesus? To them, he is a two-edged sword. And now that word, Ephratah. That was the name of the place the Jews retained and loved. The meaning of it is fruitfulness or abundance. Oh, well. And oh, how well it was that Jesus was born in the house of fruitfulness. And oh, how well it was that he passed his seed down, that you are grafted in. Hallelujah. Jesus is our soul. See, we have to be rooted and grounded in love. Well, you say, I've been feeling kind of dead as of late. Well, that's because you haven't been on your hands and knees and you haven't been seeking the will of the Father, you listening on the radio to this tape. But things aren't working out. They'll never work out. You can't have two different things. You can't serve two masters. Either you serve one or you serve the other. It won't mix. You've got to be planted, rooted, and grounded in the Lord's soil. Because our fruitfulness comes from him. It says, I am like a fir tree in the Bible. From thee is my fruit found. All the springs are in thee. You want to dry up? Get outside of the Lord. It says, if we be like trees planted by rivers of water, bringing forth our fruit in our season, it is not because, listen, we're naturally fruitful, but because of the rivers of waters by which we are planted. Are you planted by the rivers of waters? I'll tell you, you must be planted by the rivers of waters. There's hard times. And our ministry has suffered many, many hard times. There's a whole lot of folks that could be helping that aren't, that have fallen by the wayside and have sort of shrunk back from what God has called them to do. Not only here, but all over our country and all over our world, there's a shrinking and a pulling back. They are not planted by the rivers of waters. And so there's a great dryness, and I know that God right now is dealing with folks, hallelujah, at this time to come to him. Is it not Jesus that makes us fruitful? If a man abide in me, he says, and my words abide in him, he shall bring forth much fruit. How much fruit are we bringing forth? Glorious Bethlehem we're talking about. Ephratah, rightly named. Fruitfulness and the house of bread. The house of abundant provision for God's people. You know, many, many times, sometimes when things are not going just right, and I know with myself, that I'm seeking out the Lord to what to do next, and I'm seeking out the Lord, why is this, O Lord? How many times must we give ourselves? The Lord says, give your life. Not part of it. When you got into this, and when you people got into being saved, first you just gave a little. Then you found out you had to give more. Then you found out you had to give it all. And you know what? Once you've reached that and attained that point of giving all, if you shrink back, you'll never be happy. My God, you'll never be happy. You can search all over. You can do whatever you want to. But I'll tell you right now, once God has you and you're running from the Lord, your life, I tell you right now, it's dangerous to walk away from the Lord. It's dangerous to walk away from the Lord. It's dangerous to do things against ministries. Say amen, somebody. And we're seeing it all over the world. It's dangerous. God right now is dealing, and I'll tell you, God is dealing in a very heavy way. Praise the Lord. God right now is dealing in a heavy way, and the sword is swinging around. Hallelujah. But let's go on and look at the position of Bethlehem. It is said to be little among the thousands of Judah. Why is this? Because Jesus, I believe, always goes among the little ones. Isn't that precious? What do you mean, little ones? You mean little kids? Yes, that too. But I'm talking about little people, not those in high places. Little people, north side. Say amen, somebody. He was born in the little one among the thousands of Judea. Are you hearing it? Not on Bashan's high hill. Not on Hebron's royal mount, not in Jerusalem's palaces, but the humble, yet the illustrious village of Bethlehem. I read this passage sometime back in Zechariah, and I believe it teaches us a lesson. And it said like this, that a man on a red horse stood among the myrtle trees. Now the myrtle trees grow at the very bottom of the hills. And the man on the red horse, it says, always rides there. He doesn't ride on the mountaintops. He rides among the humble of heart. With this man will I dwell, said the Lord, with him who has a humble heart and a contrite spirit who trembleth at my word. The little ones. Listen. Listen, north side. Listen, you people suffering over in Africa. Listen, you people wherever that you're suffering. You little ones, are you listening to my voice? There are some little ones listening to me today, right now today. And now hear me in what I'm going to say. You little ones among the thousands of Judah. No one has ever heard your name, have they? You probably don't have ID on you. And if you were buried and your name was on a tombstone, it would never be noticed. Those who would pass by would say, it is nothing to me. I never knew him. There's so much of this. People not getting to know one another. People not wanting to enter into someone else's suffering. Oh, it's nothing to me. I'm living all right. I'm doing just fine. Why should I concern myself? And why do these show these awful pictures on TV of people starving in Africa? Well, they just make us feel awful and make us get into our pockets and give some money and stuff. About time people start feeling a little bit guilty. Say amen, somebody. Where were you when I was naked? Where were you when I was poor? And where were you when I was hungered? But they probably don't even notice you. Maybe you don't even know much about yourself, you listening. Or maybe you don't even think much of yourself. Maybe you can scarcely read. Maybe you're full of fear and so you come on strong and angry. And I told him, rah, rah. You know, it's easier to show anger than it is fear. And so many times you'll see in these areas angry people that aren't really angry, but they're fearful and they fight back with anger. Did you ever find that true of yourself? You're fearful about something, and so you start defending it and you start getting angry. But maybe you're down here and you can scarcely read. Maybe you're despised by others. Maybe you despise yourself. Well, listen to this. You are the little ones. Christ is always born in Bethlehem among the little ones. Big hearts never get Christ on the inside of them. Christ, I believe, lieth not in the great hearts, but the little ones. The little ones. You want to find Jesus? He's walking Plymouth Avenue. You want to find Jesus? He's walking Broadway. You want to find Jesus? He's walking up and down Oliver Avenue. And friends, he is watching. He's watching exactly what's going on right now. The Spirit of the Lord is watching. The Spirit of the Lord is weeping. Little ones, oh, you proud and mighty spirits, you'll never have Jesus Christ. For he cometh in at the low doors, but he will not come in at the high doors. You who have a broken heart and are low in spirit shall have the Savior, but none else. That's when I found Jesus, when I was broken. When I was low in spirit. He healeth not the prince and the king, but he healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up, it says, their wounds. What a sweet thought. How wonderful. He is the Christ of the little ones. Oh, we got good news down here on the north side. If Christ be with you, who can be against you, poor people? Well, we barely have enough bread to eat. Christ is with you. Start to believe that. Start to receive that. Start to know that. Start to partake, hallelujah, of that bread of life, hallelujah, and get you some moxie through coming to the Lord, hallelujah. Lay down your jugs. Lay down your pills. Give up your fear. Brought out in anger. You don't need it. Lift up your heads, hallelujah. Christ is here. He's waiting. He's knocking at the very doors. He's where the little ones are. Isn't that a sweet thought? Hallelujah. How wonderful is he, the Christ of the little ones. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. And also, let's notice how wonderfully Jesus Christ's mother happens to be in Bethlehem at this very time she was due. Why is that? The parents were living in Nazareth. And why should they journey now? But see, we have Caesar Augustus, and he issues a decree that they are to be taxed. Why? Well, because it was a whim. But of course, also it was God's decree. Never, ever, ever, folks. No, not ever, ever, and I said ever. Think for one moment that God is not in charge. Well, you say, man doeth as he wills, but God maketh him to do as he willeth too. He can change conditions that will help you change your will. Oh, but man has his own will, but God can change it. God can cause conditions. And he'll have his will. Are you hearing it? Well, that's what's been wrong. Man. Here, I thought I had my own will. Oh, you do. But God has his ways to do as he willeth to do. And when he willeth to do some, he will have certain conditions that will change your will. Aren't you glad that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? Well, I've been having an awful time, and I've been a Christian for years. Ah, God is moving in your life, and everything is going wrong. Why? Because you're strong-willed. Huh? Maybe you don't like this. Maybe the Spirit of God is dealing with you. God's going to have His way, and the hungry are going to be fed. Say amen, somebody. Well, I've been so dry lately. Well, God's allowing you to be dry. Your lips cracking? Throw a punch. God's going to have His way with you. God will change conditions until you will go His way. Not only is the will of man under the absolute predestination of Jehovah, but all things. What do you mean? The weather? The government? Russia too? Yeah. God is going to put His fingers up inside of the jaws of the bear and draw them down. Just about ready to happen. Bear is sort of grumbling, looking around down there, up from the north. God says, not now, you just stay right there. Bear, baby, stay right there. Well, when he's ready, he's going to turn around and take a look at that bear, old Russian. He's going to stick his hooks in his jaws and draw him down. Because it's His will, it is written. And they'll be totally annihilated. Hey, let's have a little fear of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Not enough fear of the Lord. Let's have a little order. God loves order. Because then He can move. If everybody is the captain of the football team, how will the ball ever get down across the goal? Well, I think we should pass. I think we should punt. I think we should do this. I don't know football, so I might even use some baseball terms in there. How will we ever get to second base? How will we ever make a basket? That's just as nonsensical as having all these different people. God puts a person in charge, and then we just go by divine authority, and all people out there in all these different charismatic movements, everybody is an expert on everything, and how can God move in that? It's just like the modern paintings that they have. Now, you can see Jim's painting, you know what it is. So why is there three camels there? You know, they look like camels, don't they? Don't that look like the three wise men? But not nowadays. Everybody's an expert. So you see, they put on boxing gloves and some old shorts, and they slop paint all over, and then they take a flying leap into it and slosh around in it, and then they put it on a wall, and they say, well, what do you see in that? So everybody is an art critic now, and they all have, well, I see this, and you know what? They all belong on the psychiatrist's couch. You could put up a man's paint rag and it would win first place nowadays. Because everybody is an expert. And everybody's watching 14 preachers on TV and listening to 100 preachers on the radio, and they're reading their little pamphlets on this is the way to do this, and this is the way you have faith, and this is the way this, and this is, and you hardly ever see anything on salvation anymore. And there's no order to it. But God will have His way, and the gospel will be preached unto all creation. And it just never ceases to amaze me, friends, that literally thousands of people are going to the Lord off of gospel tapes all over the world, back to Africa in great numbers by the thousands off of a tape, because God willed it to be so. Well, that ain't exciting. They're way over there. It isn't? You know what's exciting to me? Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, the Lord says, disciples, ministry, people, come forth. And all of a sudden, all the works and all the things that have gone forth and all the seeds that have been planted and all the people that have left and start preaching right out of this church and so on like this and around the world, and you see a throng come forward. Friends, that's going to be a thrill to my old heart, and it's worth everything spent. Are you hearing it? Let's hear it for the disciples' ministry. And we've got the praises of the Lord going up. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Doesn't that make you want to bring more folks in?
God is in all things, great and small.
All things must go by Him, through Him. Satan can't do anything unless he goes to God. I can see him up there now. Huh?
God is in everything, working all things according to the counsel of His own will.
God is in what? Everything, working all things according to the counsel of His own will, not someone else's will. What's happened is we're leaving the will of God out in things.
Well, let's just pray according to the Word. Let's just walk around this building 7 times and claim it for our own, and the other people can just get out. There's no love in that prayer, and it won't get answered. Let's just lay our hands on this man's Cadillac and claim it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I claim this man's Cadillac for my very own in the name of Jesus. Sir, I have a word for you. This car will not be yours long. I've claimed it. It's God's will.
Is it?
Oh, what a way to bring a new year in. But I tell you, it needs to be dealt with, right?
In everything, working all things according to the counsel of His own will.
And even though man seeks to go against his Maker, yet he can't. Because see, that man down there still got the keys to that Cadillac. He says, oh yeah, boom, and he drives away. Brother, we've claimed this building in the name of Jesus. It's fine, here's all the bills. Here's a $100 donation towards it. Say amen, folks. Say amen. God's going to have His way.
Hasn't God bounded the sea with the sands? Isn't there a barrier? Oh, it can roar, and it can thunder, and it can dash up against the rocks, but it can't go no further.
I started to think, well, I seen one of these shows on the salmon runs. Isn't that wonderful? How they can run, they have a salmon run, and they go up there, and then they lay these eggs, and how the new ones know how to go right back to the salmon run? The same way that their other fishes came, the mommy and daddy fishes? I don't know what they call them, you know. Huh? Who do you suppose does that? Why, God. Whew. Great and small. You take a look up into the sky and there's God. Hey, look at all these stars up here. God's governing. They're not in pretty good time. They're in perfect time. And even now they know when they align these planets that they can zero it down on their computers at exactly the split second of a split second of a split second. God is going to appear. This thing that God has caused to appear at a certain time will appear at a certain time. You can count on God. Didn't He give wings to the sparrow, it says in the Bible? Isn't He running the... Doesn't He speak thunder? And yet I thought to myself, He whispers to my heart many times. He says, Paul, I love you. But what did Jesus come for, you say? He came to be ruler in Israel. And yet He was born a king. Very few were born kings. They were born princes or whatever. But the very moment that blood started coming through His veins, the very moment that He was alert, He was the king. Now, is He the ruler of your heart today, you listening? I mean, the ruler? Is He? Well, yes, you say, listening on the radio, I have accepted Him some years prior to what you're talking here. Yes, I have.
But is he the ruler of your heart, or is he not the ruler of your heart? Does he command your will? If he commands your will, you will be acting different. Willn't you? Say, why do you do that? Because people remember that. Willn't you? Well, you say he is a ruler in my heart. Yeah, but does he command your will? Does he guide your judgment? Yes, he guides my... Why did you hit that person in the face? Was that God's judgment? Do you seek his hand in difficulties? Do you desire to honor him? Do you want to put crowns on the Lord Jesus Christ's head? Are you too busy claiming for thyself? Is he your ruler? Or are you the ruler? Well, if you are the ruler, you've entered worldliness. You've entered the land of compromise. And everybody and everything you touch will rot. I several times have seen, and I kind of get on Christian boys once in a while because I got mostly girls in my family. Yeah, well, anyway. When a Christian boy falls away, seems like every girl that he gets in contact with, he causes a rot. Why? Because Jesus is not the ruler anymore. He's the ruler. And it's the same way with the girls. Yes, Jesus is ruler of my life. It doesn't show in your friends. It doesn't show in your walk, and it doesn't show in your talk, and it doesn't show in your concern for your church or the body of Christ. Or you wouldn't be acting like you're acting, oh, Christian world. Or are you among the lukewarmers? Maybe your prayer life is weak. Lord, help Mom and Dad and Sister Sue. Connect. You know what happened then? You'll enter boredom, and you're bored. And so you're going to have to go all over trying to fill that gap. You're going to have to leather up your body and go to the disco and frizz your hair up and paint a stripe of red down the middle of it. There, now I can be happy. And paint your face like a great big ugly Cupid doll at the fair. Makeup and gobs of it. Great big eyelashes like Raggedy Ann. And how raggedy are you? No, you're judging. No. God is speaking to people's hearts. Hallelujah. You've entered boredom and you are boring to be with. I venture to say a lot of Christians on the New Year's Eve night will say, oh, if I could just let go and go someplace and just be myself and forget about Christianity and everything and just go out and have a good time and put on my high heels, Mama, and do those things out there, huh? And there are literally thousands of them that feel that way. Put on your high heels, Mama, huh? And just have a good time and forget about being a Christian just for one night. Jesus is not the ruler. Satan has moved in. You've entered into searching new enjoyments for your flesh outside of Christ. Listen, friends, you cannot satisfy the flesh. It will want more and more and more and more and more until you're like in the Bible says, like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. When men were trying to have sex acts with angels. There is no satisfying the flesh. Once you let it go just one time on a sex act, it's got to go all the way, and it gets hungry. Ooh, and then it gets into kiddie porno, and it gets into all kinds of junk. You see, what a Christian message. I just wanted to hear about Jesus in a manger. Jesus was in a manger. But friends, he's not in the manger right now. I serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Christian world, are you hearing me on this radio message? You've wandered from the kingdom of God, and you know where you've entered? The wild kingdom. Wild kingdom. Oh, gee, you might turn some. Hey. What do you mean wild kingdom? I mean it's an animal. It's an animal kingdom out there. Oh, I don't think so. I know a lot of nice people out there. Don't turn your back. You go out there as a wolf and the lion will come along. You go out there and do your howl, and the lion will come along and eat you up. Wild kingdom. Bible says, beware, even almost the elect will be fooled. Even almost the elect will be fooled. You feel cotton mouth coming on? Drink, eat of the bread of life. Get into the Word of God. See what it says. Get into the book of Revelation and read. You don't even have to turn your TV on. It's right back in here. Of course, it's beautiful because we win. God is dealing with selfishness. God is dealing with Christians that are making it tough on everybody else. I counsel with people a lot. After about a dozen counsels, if the person is just selfish, I just say, well, you know what I found about you? You are a selfish boob. Because there's a lot of people that are suffering on account of you. Say amen, somebody. We're not here to make each other suffer. We're here to lift one another up. And when a brother or a weaker brother is having troubles, we're not here to put him down. We're here to lift him up. And we're here to help that brother and that sister. And that's what we're here for. And sometimes by helping people, you have to minister the truth. But just before he comes, it says in the Bible, there'll become a great falling away. Check yourself out today for stiff goat hair and horns. Check, is there any wool on you? Are you still going, meh? Or is the hair sort of stiff like a goat? Peel on the head, is there a couple little horns? Cross your leg and notice your foot, is there a hoof hanging out? You people are lucky you're coming in at the midnight hour. And don't you be deceived for 1 minute. God has called you. The little ones, you're not big ones, are you? Is your billfold big? Is it hard for you to sit down because you rock to one side because your billfold's so full? Oops, darn old billfold's so full. I can get, there. Oops, whoa. It's just so full of money. Whoa. I used to have trouble like that. It's uncomfortable sitting on all your money. Give it up, rich man. But see, you're the little ones, and that's what God came for, the little ones. Not the proud and the haughty and the high. I don't want to be in a Cadillac and be proud and haughty and high without the Lord when the rapture comes and be sitting there when I see everybody going up. No.
I'd rather be caught in a pair of sneakers walking down the road. Some people got the wrong kind of sneakers on, though, haven't they? See, because we're all free because we are servants of Christ. We are at liberty because He is our ruler, and we know no bondage and no slavery because Jesus Christ alone is a monarch over our hearts. That's what gives us our liberty. That's what gives us our freedom, is that we leave Jesus Christ be ruler of all. Do you hear me? Oh my God, hear me. I don't know how long I'm going to last under the pressure I'm taking. I don't know. Sometime back, about 3 weeks ago, I had palpitations in my heart. I thought I was going under.
You want to know the reason I had them palpitations in my heart? Because I'd ran about three blocks. But I do have a quickening in my heart a lot of times. I'll wake up at night and it'll be racing up there. Oh, wow, that's a little funny. I wake up and I got kind of a sweat on me. I'll go sit up for a little while. And you know what? The Lord speaks to me every time. Every time. Well, at least I know I'm alive. I can be reached. He came to be ruler in Israel, and he came to be ruler in our hearts. Lastly, did Jesus ever come before? The answer is yes. The Bible says, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Of old he went forth for his people. As their representative. Before the crown I'm talking about, even before they were begotten in the world, God knew me before I was even here. Jesus was interceding with the Father before I was even here, Christ. It says in the Bible, it was from everlasting he signed his name, the Son of God. From everlasting he signed that contract with the Father that he would pay the full price in his blood for you and I. Wound for wound, lash for lash, mocked and spit upon and cursed. And I started to think of all the legalistic jargon heads I've been hearing. And I thought to myself, if he chose me before the mountains and the seas, will he lose me now? No, the Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. No, never. The original Greek. No, never. No, never. No, never. Since his goings forth were from old to everlasting, don't you see? They will be everlasting. Our salvation was from everlasting and is everlasting. It can only be everlasting. We serve an everlasting God. Oh, yes, I read in the Bible where he talked to Abraham. He appeared to Jacob. He put his hip out of joint. Remember, he wrestled with God. And in Joshua, the 5th chapter, at the 13th verse, we read, and it came to pass when Joshua was at Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him like the brave warrior that he was. And said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. But as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And it says that Joshua at once saw the divinity of him in him. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what sayest my Lord? What saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, if it
would have been an angel, he would have reproved Joshua and said, I am a fellow servant. But no, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from thy foot, for the place whereon that thou standest is holy. And then, of course, in the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was there. Why was he there? Because they would not bow. Are you hearing this? They would not bow. When the rest and everyone was bowing down before the idols, they would not bow. And you know what? The Lord is always there. Notice that he only comes during those times when saints are deep in duty. There is going to come a move of the Spirit like you've never seen before. When Abraham interceded for Sodom, give me 50, give me 25, give me 10, can you show me 2? When Joshua was exercising bravery and when the 3 Hebrew boys would not bow, I said, think, O Paul and all warriors of the Lord, we must also be firm in our performance of duty. If we want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to mean business. Listen, friends, to know the height and to know the depth and to know the length and to know the breadth of the love of Christ Jesus, which passes all knowledge. Not only must you enter into the battle, but you must seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You must come out of that compromise. You must say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must give up your bitterness. You must give up your selfishness. You must give up using people. Some people just use people like they would an old shoe, and when they've served their purpose, off it goes. Oh, little ones, you listening today, you neglected ones, he will come to your poor old house. Just call upon his name today. Just call upon the name of Jesus. And just learn how to trust in him, and he will abide. And not only will he abide, but he'll abide in your heart forever and evermore. And so this is the one that we speak of today. The little one born in Bethlehem. Ephrathah, the bread of life, the fruitful one. And that's where we right now are. Feeding upon the bread of life, planted beside the rivers of waters, hallelujah. Reaching down, sometimes our growth, like I said Friday night, is downward. So that it is not all branch and leaf and all wavy and look at me, I'm charismatics and so on and whatever. But you've got roots that are down through suffering that had to go through dry times and went down into the well, the springs of waters, and have found the main source rooted and grounded in the soil of God's heart that will be able to withstand every storm that's going to come up, be able to withstand every tribulation that's to be coming upon us. And doesn't that give you heart? Now you don't have to be depressed. I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm depressed. You don't have to be that way. You need to put your taproot down. Tap into the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Here we are at the end of the year right now. We are facing money problems. But this is nothing new. Our ministry has faced money problems ever since its conception. But I've never had a problem ministering the salvation message. There's a lot of churches that don't have any problems with money at all. They got a bigger problem. They have a problem. They have not ministered salvation. That is really a poor church.
For we are rich and we have need of nothing, the Laodicea church says. And that is the Laodicean spirit right now that's on planet Earth. But Jesus says, take a look again. You're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor. For you've forgotten the gospel message. And you went frivolizing out there and claim-a-siding out there and hyper-faithing it out there. And you haven't paid 1 ounce of attention to my son, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. Arapta. The bread of life. The fruitful one. You haven't tasted of him in months. Where have you been? You've fallen into deadness and you're falling into making it. And that's your main thought and your main concern is what you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep and so on like that. That is your main concern and you have fallen into unbelief because you don't have oodles of cash in the bank. That would make you a believer. How many believers could you buy right now if you said, you know, you claimed $1 million for him and you gave him $1 million? Well, that made me a believer. God's going to do it the very opposite way, friend. And a lot of people that are seeking after the world that are already born again are going to find themselves flat, stone cold, dead in the marketplace without 2 cents to buy some bread. Because even though you have your own will, God will cause conditions and his will be done. Let me tell you right now, God, and that's a misconception that you can just do your things and I wonder how God can work through people's wills. They don't want to do anything. He has ways. Mark it down and God is going to start to deal with the church, those unbelievers that are walking around and I tell you, the phonies that are walking around and the people that are not believing the Lord. And I think all of us to some degree are phonies. Some degree. And I think we have to deal with that every day, don't we? Let's put our eyes on Christ and let's put our eyes on getting the task that God has called us to do done at no matter what the cost. I was talking to Mick the other day in the sound room. I said, well, hey, we've tried everything but cutting our arms off, so let's just cut our arms off and then we'll be okay. He says, give me a little time to get used to that one, will you? If your arm offends thee, cut it off. If your hand offends thee, cut it off. If it can't reach back to do the Word of God and to get into its billfold to help someone that's in need, cut it off. It's of no use. It's useless. If your eye can't see the needs of the people out there, pluck it out. It's no use. I mean, what good is it to have eyes and not see? That's what that scripture means. Jesus from Bethlehem, Arapta. I hope you listening to radio or tape gained something out of this message today. I hope you that have fallen into compromise and you know, all that preachers are saying right now is a great big joke. And sometimes people use the different preaching names. They say, well, it's so confusing. One preacher says this and one preacher says that. But the Holy Spirit says only one thing. Get ready. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. Get ready. Get ready, folks. Because the captain of the Lord's host is about to be here at any moment. And it's a very dangerous thing to turn your back on what God is doing right now. Don't turn your back. God's going to shake up his army and there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you were born, yes, in Bethlehem. I thank you that you are real and that you are alive and that you, Lord God, right now are moving by your Spirit. God, right now, I pray that you meet the needs of this church, that we could carry on this work wherein that you've called us to do. God, I ask that you move people through the whatever way that you want to move them. And God, not my will or our will be done, but thy will be done, O God. And put us in that place, Lord God, of seeking your face. And put us in that place, Lord God, of trying not only, Lord, to serve you, but moving in closer to that rivers of waters, hallelujah.
God move upon these very beautiful people that are here today and all those that are out there right now. My God, open the eyes and open the mouths and open the ears of the Christians right now that they can hear the terrible agonist things that are happening in this world, that they may see and not join in the terrible things that are happening right now as judgment is about to fall on this terrible situation right now here on planet Earth. And oh my God, have your will and have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to ask for a comment from a couple of people that usually don't get up and give comments. Somebody that hasn't before, the message said something to you today that you can encourage someone else out there.